Today on Real Radio.
Look, the seed goes out and it goes, bounces right off the guy's head. Just think, falls right on the ground. The next guy sinks right into his head, falls down into his heart. It makes sense to one guy in this room and the guy next to him, it makes no sense at all. The Bible says that that one guy is blinded by the wisdom of this age. The wisdom of this age, which is coming to nothing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. You know, there's a popular phrase going around these days. We read it on t-shirts and bumper stickers. Not of this world. Exactly what does it mean to be not of this world? Well, chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians addresses just this. Paul makes it very clear, a distinction between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom that comes from above. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, now in a lesson called Not of This World.
But when we can lean upon him in his faithfulness because, I tell you what, here's a perfect thing. Because for this reason, you're here right now, and we're glad that you're here. And so you'll be invited back Wednesday night. Totally different service Wednesday night. And you say, you know, I would, but I'm tired. I'm really tired on Wednesday nights. We're all tired on Wednesday nights. But watch how this works. When we lean on his faithfulness, this is what happens. Someone's going to say, hey, are you going to go Wednesday night? Or maybe I'll Twitter you and say, come on, I'll see you there Wednesday night. And you're going to think this thought just like I do. And I'm the one speaking Wednesday night. And I'm still thinking, man, I'm tired. I don't want to go. And I get in my car and I don't want to go. And I'm driving here. I don't want to be here. I get here and I don't want to. And then worship starts. Don't miss worship. Worship starts. And I still don't want to be here. And then it's the second worship song. Wow, that's an awesome song. Lord, you know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah, Lord, that's awesome. And then the third song, yes. And by the end of the worship set, which really, frankly, you guys, has nothing to do with us. It's our offering to him. But when he's blessed, you're affected. How do you know God's being blessed in a fellowship of believers? Because you will get affected. It's like he gets so excited, it spills over on you in the service. We should open up the roof more, right? And let more come down. And so he gets excited. He's listening to the worship and he goes, yes! And it splashes over on you, and now you're in it. And all of a sudden now, God's prepared your heart to receive the message. The message goes out, and you, who 2 hours ago were too tired to come to church, you came, and you wind up doing what most people do. You stay 1 hour longer after church is over talking to your friends in your little groups over here, and everybody's talking, or they're talking out in the parking lot or the courtyard, or you're over at Mimi's or Corner Bakery or Wahoo's or somewhere, and you're talking about God, and then you look at the clock. Are you like me? You go home Wednesday night, it's 11 o'clock! I gotta get up. How did that happen? You leaned on his faithfulness. You leaned on him and you were energized. I slept a couple of hours last night. And I'm saying, Lord, you gotta help me. You gotta help me. I landed, came in from New York last night, landed, got home about 10:30, quarter 11. Lord, you need to help me. And the way my mind works, I get up to see if my alarm clock's working. Are you like that? Are you working? So I'm watching it every hour. Anyway, I just figured, forget it. I'm just getting up. And so I'll sleep later. Here's the thing. This morning before service, I don't want to go. God, can't you give me a sore throat? I can call in sick. But once you get going, God fills you up. R. Kent Hughes puts it this way. He puts wind in our sails to bear us along. Isn't he good about that? So here's the thing, you guys. When we lean on his faithfulness, we are actually trusting him to keep us going. We think, I'm going to sleep. And it doesn't work. We've all done it. I'm going to ditch church. I'm going to sleep. And you wake up 12 hours later, tired. Why? Because we were not energized in the things of the Spirit. When we are energized in the things of the Spirit, the flesh has to submit to the leadership of the Spirit of God. It is a beautiful way to live. You say, Pastor, you're going to get some sleep? I'm sure after third service and a few meetings today, I will crash. But here's the fun part. It's great to crash with Jesus, exhausted for him. Amen. And that's for every believer to live. Lean on his faithfulness. The Bible also tells us, verse 5, that we are to rest in his power. He says in verse 5 that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Notice where your faith is at, church. It's not in the fanciful showmanship of the wisdom of the world. It is in the power of God. And the power of God, again, is the gospel of God, which is the cross, Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you something about your faith. James talks to us about faith. And James tells us that we can say we believe in God, but if we have not works, we have deceived ourselves. And James says that as a believer, though I am justified by faith in this world, my life is justified before you and your life before me by our good works. Church, get this down. Look, there's all kinds of denominational people in here. Get this down. Romans is the justification by faith in God alone. That's your position between you and God. Done by faith in him. James is all about that truth being lived out among the believers. How do I know if you're truly a believer or if I'm truly a believer? I'll tell you, If your car's broken down and I recognize the church logo on the back of your window, and you're out there and it's 100 degrees and your tire's flat, and I drive by and I go, hey, praise the Lord, see you later. I'll pray for you. Man, my faith is only in profession and not in action. That is wrong. That is absolutely dead wrong. Here's my question, and it hurts. I can't wait to get it off my chest because God asked me this question. So now we can all be miserable together. Jack, what are those things, what is that thing in your life that you are proving to me and to man that you're faithful at? I should look, you should look, we should look at one another and conclude that faithfulness in what? Taking care of your ailing mother. That's awesome. Or helping the release time education. Fantastic. Praying and interceding for America. Whatever it is. What are you faithful at? There's something, please don't answer me right now, but Christian, I pray that we have something to write on that line when God says, Billy, what is it? Write it down that you are faithful to me, the Lord, in doing as a Christian. You have to have an answer. You must have an answer. If you do not have an answer, the book of James says your faith is in vain. It's not real. Is that terrifying? I don't know about you, but that terrifies me. Oh God, may my life count. And may I be faithful at something. And you might be here today saying, Jack, my life is so distracted by stuff, I don't get to be faithful at anything. I hear from you, and I want to encourage you, you are faithful. Because I hear women say to me, my husband's so messed up, he's so lost, and I would love to be involved in ministry, but I just fast, I pray, I cry out to God. And listen, you're awesome. Don't stop. Be faithful to that thing. That's what God's called you to be faithful to. Don't give up. Don't stop. Stay at it. Rest in his power. And your faith will grow. Just be committed to something. And that's why you attend this particular local body of believers. Every church family. Don't we live in a great area of the world right now? Yes. You guys, I'm telling you right now, you know churches are packed all around us right now at this hour. Amen. Also this, second point. Not of this world means this, verses 6 through 10. God's wisdom is not of this world. God's wisdom is not of this world because this, number one reason, God's wisdom is total. It completes us. His wisdom makes us complete. Now listen to this. Verse 6, however we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Circle the word mature. The word mature is teleos in Greek. We get the word teleonomic or teleonometry. It's a scientific term. It's the conveyance of information. Teleonometry is the pathway of which information goes from point A to point B. It's a genius, brilliant scientific term from the Greek language. Paul says that we speak wisdom among those who are, listen, receiving the broadcast. God, church, listen, is sending a message constantly. God is speaking constantly. He's sending out the message. Do you remember when the disciple says, Jesus, why is it that when we're alone with you, you just talk to us normal? But when you're in public and you're preaching, do you remember what they asked him? You speak in parables to the people. That's taken from the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah prophesied that when the Messiah, are you listening? That when the Messiah would come, how would you recognize him? The book of Isaiah says he will speak in parables. Why? Because he says, everyone will hear, but there'll be some people who hearing, they will not understand, and seeing, they will not perceive. But unto you, he points to the disciples, and can I say, I pray, unto all of you, Jesus said, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Have you ever witnessed to somebody, maybe, I hope not, but maybe you're here right now and you're going, what are you, nuts? And I say, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You go, that's ridiculous. You have sins and only God can remove them. That's why it haunts your conscience. He wants to scrub you clean and only God can do that. That's ridiculous. Do you understand something? The guy sitting next to you is saying, oh my goodness, really? Look, the seed goes out and it goes, boom, bounces right off the guy's head. Just dink, falls right on the ground. The next guy sinks right into his head, falls down into his heart. It makes sense to one guy in this room and the guy next to him, it makes no sense at all. The Bible says that that one guy is blinded by the wisdom of this age. The wisdom of this age, which is coming to nothing. Isn't it good? Look around, you guys. Yes, like we talked about last week, bring in the experts. Isn't it amazing? How much more does God have to show us that man knows nothing about what should happen next? Is not God shaking the globe and the believers going, right on. That's awesome, God. You can see it. I had this lady come up to me on the beach of New Jersey in the outreach, and she says, isn't it amazing, Pastor Jack, that we know secrets when it comes to the word of God? And she used the perfect word. It's true. It's secret to those who will not receive it. It's secret. It's like, what? To us who are open, it's God's wisdom. It's so clear. Wow. Think about that. Where are you in that mix is vitally important. If you understand the wisdom of God, you are complete. You will be satisfied. The teleos, the information of God's throne room is communicated into your heart and it radically, dramatically affects your life. It changes you. How do you know? You'll hear the word and it will affect your life. It bounces around in your head. You can't get rid of it. And then you have to obey it. Then you start making phone calls. You go online. How do I find out more about? And God begins to work. And that word wisdom, by the way, if your name is Sophia or Sophie, that's the word in Greek for wisdom. And it's God's given, supernatural, heavenly wisdom. Coming back last night from New York, the storms across the Midwest of America were just intense. And all you can see the lightning rumble from one cloud to the other, way above it, 39,000 feet were above the storms, looking down in the storms. Now look, there were people beneath those clouds getting hammered with tornado warnings. Then there's the storm itself. And then we're up there eating lunch. Isn't that weird? And the whole trip across the Midwest of America, the pilot was just going around these big clouds. And you could see the lightning glow up these clouds. And you know what's beautiful about it? It was smooth. We're eating, watching a movie, whatever's going on. And there's storms beneath. But the pilot had information, satellite information, weather information. He knew how to navigate the storms. He could see because he's getting teleos from above, wisdom from above to go around the dangers that were around us. That's how the Christian life is. God, show me what to do. Teleos, teleonomic, teleonometry. God imparts to the believer who will open up and ask, oh God, what does the world say about this type of wisdom of ours? That we're crazy. And then the world rejects the very wisdom of God and adopts the stupidest things in the world. And then they write a book and make millions about it. God's wisdom makes us totally complete. Absolutely complete. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 says this: the mystery which has been hidden from ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, that's all believers, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ. Here it is. What's the mystery of God that's been hidden? It's what, by the way, it's what the Old Testament prophets couldn't figure out. Here it is. This is the answer. Colossians 1:27 says, which is Christ in you. See that word hope? Is it on screen? Did you see the word hope? The word hope is not hope like you think. The word is assurance. Which is Christ in you, the assurance of glory, him we preach. What does that mean? That means you can be absolutely certain today that you're going to go to heaven if you die or when you die. You're going to see, you can know that now. The absolute assurance that is this: Christ is in you, the assurance of glory. He, the Holy Spirit, is the down payment for our eternal life. Amen. It is a glorious thing to realize this. Wonderful thing. Also this, verses 9 and 10, his wisdom opens our understanding. But as it is written, he's quoting Isaiah 64, as it is written, eye has not seen, and the believer goes, yeah. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have it entered into the heart of a man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Stop right there. We have often misinterpreted this verse, you guys. Watch this. I need to know if I have your attention. You guys with me? Anybody there? Here's the deal. Somebody will say, well, let's talk about heaven, or what about heaven? And you know what? And I'm guilty of this too. You know, it's going to be amazing. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart or the mind of man. Right? We've all said that. Guess what? We're not being exactly accurate. It is going to be awesome. It is going to be beyond human description, no doubt about it. But look at verse 10. What does it say? What's the first two words? But God. But God, what's the next word? Has, past tense, revealed, past tense, them to us. How? Through his Spirit. For the Spirit, is it capital S in your Bible? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. This is amazing. The believer who knows Jesus Christ personally knows Jesus personally because the Holy Spirit has opened his mind up to receive the wisdom of God that previously, throughout eons of time and the millennia, where the Old Testament prophets and think of Noah and Abraham and all that stuff, the mystery was presented to them. They saw, as it were, through a glass dimly. The Bible tells us the prophets of the Hebrew prophets of the Old Testament tried to look into things that for them they did not yet understand. You and I are on this side, church. We need to get a little Pentecostal here. We're on this side. We know what the mystery is. And look, here it is. In this room, you know the mystery. We know secrets. I see secrets. We know the secret. Outside these walls, they think we're nuts. Look at that church over there. They think they got secrets. Hey, our secret can be known. We preach it all the time on radio, internet, Sundays, Wednesdays, every chance we get, on the streets, we tell it. It's no secret. Listen, it was once held by the hand of God. It's a mystery hidden. This is what it means. He doesn't keep the gospel away from people. It is so incredibly powerful that in such a way, he reveals enough to Abraham, Adam and Eve, Noah, Jonah, just enough. And then he brings his son. And his son, the book of Revelation's title is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. The unveiling, that's where you get the word apocalypse. The unveiling of Jesus Christ. What's God's message to the world? To unveil Jesus Christ. The real one, not the make-up one of the cults. The real one, the Bible one. And what's the mystery? It doesn't have to be a mystery. It's just that when it goes out, it's going to hit you in the head and fall to your feet, or it's going to hit you in the head and fall into your heart. Amen. And here's the amazing thing. God is faithful. He's broadcasting that biblical seed, as it were, to the world. And the world is saying, that's stupid. That's ridiculous. What kind of a nut would believe that? You know what? The Bible says the God of this world We're coming to this in Corinthians. The god of this world, Satan, has blinded your eyes so that you cannot believe.
Right.
You say, well, man, that concerns me. Well, guess what's happening to you right now? If you can even think that thought, hey, that concerns me. Guess what's happening? There's probably a couple of angels beating up some demonic power around your face right now and shining a little bit of light into your head. And you better be careful because God's starting to reach you right now and you're thinking, wow, really? I mean, I walked in here thinking that, you know, I just can't wait to get out of this place. And now this kind of makes some sense. In fact, I've been fighting against God. I haven't even known why I've been so upset with him. Blinded. Blinded. Jesus says Satan does that. But when the gospel's preached, it hits you right in the head. And for some of you, it's bouncing off. For some of you, it hits you and it falls into your heart and you go, yeah. And for some of you, it's stuck there right now. It's trying to get in. It's like wiggling, trying to get in. So that the light of the gospel will shine upon them and they shall be saved.
Amen.
Think of that for a moment. But let's be honest, in 10 minutes, you're going to be out of here. And the first thing, people are going to say, what do you want to eat? And there's nothing wrong with that. You go eat, and what you should do, like in the old days, at least that's what I heard anyway, is that people used to make mashed potatoes and fried chicken, and they used to sit around after Sunday and talk about the message.
Yeah.
You know what we do today? Hey, man, let's go. Where are we going? Let's go get something to eat. Okay, what time's the game? Game's at 2. All right, good. It evaporates. Oh, my goodness, you guys. It was 100 degrees in New Jersey on the beach, and some rain would come by. The humidity was 87% plus. The rain would come by, hit the ground, and it hit the ground, and you'd see the moisture evaporate when it hit the ground. I was watching the Bible being fulfilled. Solomon talked about the circuit of water being evaporated in rain. I'm watching it happen. And it's like, look, this rain is going back up. It's raining both ways. It was so humid, so hot. The message evaporates the moment you leave the place. The message evaporates. That's the grave danger. We need to hang on to the word. To the word, to the word. Isaiah said in the last days, there'll be people coming and muttering words. And Isaiah said, when they come and mutter, he used the word mutter. When they mutter words, go to the word, go to the testimony of God. And that's what we always must do.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called Not of This World. It's a look at the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, a valuable lesson on how believers are to seek godly wisdom rather than worldly wisdom. Not of this world. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this insightful New Testament letter, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. On tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to sit down with Pastor Jack and address the outcome of this week's election. Should be a great show, so be sure to be along for that. Now, you know, if you're being blessed by Real Radio, which we hope that you are, we've made it real easy for you to let us know that. Visit us at realradioactive.org and drop Pastor Jack a line. He loves to hear encouraging words from Real Radio listeners just like you. realradioactive.org, and then click on the button that says Radio Reaction. Type in your message to Pastor Jack. He'll read it, long or short, doesn't matter. You can also read what others have written, like this one. Listener says, thank you so very much for broadcasting your messages on Real Radio. He goes on to say, I'm deeply appreciative to Pastor Jack and all those that support this broadcast. There's no doubt that this work is infused by the power of God. He says, with this understanding, first and foremost, I'm grateful for your diligence throughout the years to this moment, without which I could not have come to a deeper love for the Word of God. Thank you all again. And you know what? You know who you are that wrote that letter. Thanks to you for sending it in. We really appreciate it. Again, go to realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on Radio Reaction. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.